My guess is as you think about your own life, you can see events or places or people that have made a big difference in your outlook on life and ministry and in your relationship with Jesus. And Don Sappington is one of those people for me. I don't know when we first met, a lot of years ago, maybe even decades by now, but we met a long time ago, and Don was very instrumental in Hidden Creek growing in our partnership with China and with Bosnia and with Israel and Palestine. And we've been able to see Don's work over the years impact the lives of many. In a season of ministry here at Hidden Creek, from about 2008 to about 2011, the Lord began to develop a new passion in our hearts and in our lives for biblical justice. And in 2009 and 10, we really started leaning into what it meant to experience the justice of God and what it meant to experience and to extend the mercy of Jesus to the people around us. As we looked at the Old Testament teaching of biblical justice, and we looked at the way that it impacted the life of Christ and the way that he put it into practice, what we came to understand is that justice and righteousness, they're almost interchangeable points of character in God's being. And if we picture righteousness and justice as a long, straight road, everything on that road is justice, and anything off of that road is injustice, whether it's in the ditch or on a side street or 10 miles away, either direction. Anything off that road is injustice. The world lives by a pattern of injustice, and he has called us to bring people, invite people into a right relationship where we're in right relationship with God and right relationship with the people around us. And when that takes place, we experience this thing called shalom, or peace, where we're at peace with God and we're at peace with the people around us. Our goal and our hope, our plan, our desire at Hidden Creek is to continually bring people into a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others as we look at the injustices in the world and address them the way that God's word calls us to address them. Now, there are very dark things that happen around the world, and one of those is human trafficking. And when we stepped into our justice journey, my thought was, well, yeah, that happens overseas, and it happens in far-off places, and what we discovered is it happens right here in Olympia, and there's darkness all around us, but we live with the hope and the light of Jesus. Don's ministry, he's part of Remember New, and he's going to tell us more about that. But their goal is to stop human trafficking and sexual exploitation of children through prevention. And some of you have signed up to get information about that. In your bulletin on the flip side of your sermon notes, there's some information about how you can get involved. And Don also has some brochures or some papers in the back that you can look at as well. But I want you to come up, Don, and I'll pray for you as you get ready to speak, and I'm sure you've already gotten ready to speak. You're ready, right?
I'm speaking.
I think you will. Okay. And it's Jesus that we want to hear from, but we're grateful that he is using your voice to call us to a place of right relationship with him and with the people around us. Don, we are so glad that you're here, and Jesus, we thank you that you have blessed Don with a heart of compassion for the people around him. It's a privilege for us to partner with him as you use him to draw others in churches and organizations across the United States to lean into your passion for hurting and broken people around the world. Bless him. Our ears are open to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. We've all seen news footage of devastation from storms, from fires, from natural disasters that are happening all over the world and all over the United States, particularly this last year. It seems like it's been a horrible year, hasn't it? And maybe you're even a survivor, or members of your family have been a survivor of some of these types of disasters. When your life is hanging by a thread, when your security is threatened, When your home maybe is swept away, you find yourself crying out for a place of safety, of security, of refuge, shelter. Everyone needs shelter. We need shelter in the day-to-day circumstances of life, and we need shelter in the horrific circumstances that come into our lives from time to time. And some individuals have the privilege of choosing their shelters. And for others, if they have a choice at all, it's a very limited choice. Seems like their options are very few. But all too often, an individual's shelter is stripped away for them for whatever reason. Maybe it's by disaster, maybe it's by storm. But there are other types of life circumstances that also strip away our refuge, our shelters, our safe havens, what gives us a sense of security in life. King David, the psalmist David, understands this issue of security and shelter. His life was filled with a sense of turmoil, often running from those that would even take his own life. You recall incidences of that recorded in the Old Testament. In moments like that, how did David respond to a sense of insecurity, of a sense when he felt a need for shelter, for refuge? I'd like for us to take a look at Psalm 61 this morning. And it's going to be shown to you here on the screen so we could follow along. And I'd like for us to see what we can learn from David, what God has for us here from this psalm. Follow along as I read this for us. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Selah. I think if we stop and think about the words that are written here, that we can identify with what David is saying here in this psalm, what he's experiencing here that he puts down for us. You see, there are times that we pray to God, and then there are times that we cry out to God. And there's a difference, isn't there? Are you with me? That we cry out from the depths of our soul, where we are desperate for God to hear us. And I think that's what David is experiencing here in this psalm. He wants God to be his protector. He is desperate to know that God hears him in this situation. He wants to make sure that God is active in his life and listening to him. And perhaps the phrase that he uses in this psalm where he says, from the ends of the earth, he might be feeling like, God, I'm not so sure you're right close by my side right now. You might be way off somewhere. I'm not particularly feeling you right by my side. Where are you, God? Maybe he's feeling a little bit abandoned. Have you ever felt that way when you're trying to communicate with God? Like, I'm not hearing anything. I'm not feeling you right now, God. Maybe I know in my brain and my theology that you are with me, but where are you, God? I'm not hearing you. I'm not feeling you, God. In moments like that, we cry out with David, my heart grows faint. God, I'm at the very end of myself. Unless you show up, I don't know what's going to happen. Have you been there? Well, David turned to God in those moments. But sometimes we try to do it on our own, don't we? We try to figure out, okay, how am I going to get through this situation? I don't know if God's going to come through here. I need to fix something here. I need to manufacture something. I need to. But David called out to God, hear my cry. My heart grows faint. God, I need you. That's a really good lesson for us, isn't it? In moments like that, we need to learn the lesson from David. Don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. Cry out to God. Let me remind you of a trauma and the cries of a young teenage girl called Nu. Some of you know a little bit about the life of Nu. She was a teenage girl, and she went through a horrific situation as a young teenager. In the video clip that we're going to see, she just refers a little bit to the trauma that happened young in her teenage years when her heart was faint and she cried out to God. Let's listen.
I saw the lady talking with my grandmother, and I know that lady saw all my friends, so I know that I will be so.
There were two things he wanted me to do. The first one was to find Nu and make sure she was going to be okay and help her. And the second one was to those 1 million children a year that were being sold. I think God was asking me to do whatever I could do to stop that from happening.
God was very present with Nu in the most horrific moment of her life. And while God did not answer Nu's prayer exactly in the way that she wanted or even expected in that moment, God was very present. And God did hear her cry. Her cry that in that moment, a second prayer that she had was, God, don't allow any other children to experience what I had to experience. And out of that horrific moment, an organization was birthed. The organization, Remember Nu. The organization to help prevent other children from being sold or trafficked. And in 2007, the first children's home to provide safe places, shelters for children at risk of being sold into sexual bondage, was opened in Cambodia. And just over 10 years later, we now have 80 prevention homes scattered throughout 15 countries, with more than 1,500 children being cared for 24/7. It's amazing to see what God has done. It's amazing to see how God's people have come around to make a difference in the lives of children at risk. It's a good thing to pause and just give thanks to the faithfulness of God and His people. In the psalm, David is drawn to the rock as he remembers God's faithfulness. You see, in David's time, when you saw a big outcropping of rocks in the middle of the desert, it was a good thing, because it might mean that there was a spring of water in that area that you could be refreshed with. It might mean that you could get out of the blistering heat of the desert sun. Or if you were being chased by an enemy, you could run to the rocks and hide out. You could get protection. all good things. We need a safe place to run to. We need a rock to run to. That's the metaphor that David is using here in this psalm. And like David, we have seen God's faithfulness. We've seen God's faithfulness in the past as an organization caring for children in need. But there are thousands upon thousands of other children in need of protection. And David gives testimony that, yes, in the past, God, you have been my refuge. You've been there to care for my needs, to provide shelter and a refuge. But you see in this psalm also inferences that he may be a little conflicted about his current situation. We've been there, haven't we, where our head and our heart are kind of in different places. We know it, but we're not feeling it. And that may be where David is in this psalm. You've been faithful in the past, but this situation, God, I'm not sure. Are you there for me? I know you've surprised me with your care and protection in the past, but I'm without a job right now, God. I'm not sure how I'm going to take care of the bills right now, God. This health situation right now, God. This is a big one, God. By best estimates of the International Center for the Protection of Children, sex trafficking has increased 27% in recent years. Certain countries are known as destinations for child sex tourism. Those words should never be in the same sentence. Statistics tell us that during the time we are worshiping here this morning, it's estimated that 30 more children will be sold into sex slavery around the world. How can we sit here and do nothing about it? God, are you with us on this one? Can we find justice and refuge for these children that are at great risk? This is a big one, God. Providing a place of safety and security, shelter for children at risk, is the mission of Remember New. For those of you that have tracked with Remember New over the years, and like Tim said, I so appreciate how Hidden Creek has been with us on this journey for some time now. Most of you are probably aware of what we have been doing in Southeast Asia. Today I'd like to share a little bit about what we're doing in Africa. In 2016 and 2017, we expanded our care and protection to children in Tanzania. We had a home in Tanzania. We had one home in Tanzania. And the government of that country was aware of what we were doing and actually was very complimentary of the care that we were providing for children in that home. So much so that they contacted us when a crisis occurred. You see, the government closed down a couple of homes in Tanzania with another organization because of the unsafe conditions in that home. Two children had died of malnutrition and neglect in those homes. And they contacted us and asked if we would be willing to take on those 62 children. In 2 days, those children would be out on the streets to fend for themselves. Children about 5 years of age up to about 9 years of age, without anyone to care for them, totally at risk children for whoever wanted to do whatever to them. And we were the only hope that the government had for somebody to come alongside them. Remember, news leadership took a real faith-filled risk, was able to negotiate some things with the government, and we opened two new homes just immediately. We brought some other children into their existing home, and those children are now being well cared for with some followers of Christ, some new house parents that God provided for us immediately, and it's amazing. Those kids are being cared for now and being loved. Another encouraging story comes out of Uganda. Also in 2017, we learned of 18 girls that were literally being taken, literally being transported to a brothel, and we were able to intercept them, something that is totally unusual circumstances for how we get children. But by a miracle of God, we were able to remove them from that situation and open two new homes and provide safety and shelter for those girls. And they will never have to experience the reality of the horror that was facing them at the other end of that transport. These are very unusual circumstances, and I don't even know all the details of how that happened, but I do know that God provided safety and shelter for those girls in a very miraculous situation. And then there's the story of Kenya. I'd like for you to see what's happening in Kenya.
There's a lot of brokenness and suffering in our world today, but there's also a whole lot of hope. Remember New is one of those stories of hope. One of the things going wrong in the world is that 1.2 million children are being trafficked into the global child sex trade each year. Remember New is a nonprofit committed to ending child sex slavery through prevention. We identify children who are at risk of being sold, and we essentially get to them before the bad guys can, so that we can remove them from their vulnerable situation and prevent them from being sold into slavery. We place at-risk children into homes with indigenous house parents, where the physical, educational, emotional, and spiritual needs of each child can be met. One of the countries where we do work is Kenya. Kenya is a beautiful and lush country, but the children of Kenya are troubled by many things. Not only the common African enemies of poverty and HIV, but Kenya's tourist economy also makes it a hotbed for child sex trafficking. Children in the streets are particularly vulnerable to commercial sex slavery, forced begging, and domestic servitude, which is often also a front for sexual exploitation. Another issue unique to Kenya can be found amongst the Maasai tribe, where a common practice is female genital mutilation, or FGM, in which girls between the ages of 12 and 14 are forced to be circumcised in a very painful process as a coming-of-age ritual. For the girls who survive FGM, many are then sold to older men as child brides. We are happy to now have over 20 children's homes in Kenya, where hundreds of at-risk children have found safety and protection from sex slavery and female genital mutilation. Our children are receiving 24/7 housing and a quality education so that one day they can be sent into society as young adults who will become cultural influencers and leaders who can live out their God-given dreams in the world. As churches, organizations, and people like you continue rising up to shed a light on these issues and partner with us, we're excited to prevent many more at-risk children from being sold and exploited. What's happening here in Kenya is just one example of the real and tangible hope that can come from people like you and I caring and choosing to do something about the brokenness we see in our world. We wanted to say thank you for being a part of this joyful movement and for joining with us in ending child sex slavery through prevention.
Remember New is committed to expressing the love of Jesus by deed and by word. You see, most of the children that come to one of our homes have never experienced the love heaped on them as they do in one of our homes through our house parents and through our sponsors from the United States. Such is the case by a young girl that we'll call Ellen. Ellen came to one of our homes in Guinea-Bissau in Western Africa. She came to our home from a very difficult situation. And after arriving, she, over time, learned of the love of Jesus. And that happens in 90% of our kids that come to our home. And she became a follower of Christ. Look at her smile. Isn't it amazing? Well, Ellen became increasingly concerned for her biological mom, who was living the life of a prostitute. That's the background of her family. And Ellen faithfully prayed for her mom. It was just a deep burden that she had. And one day her mom came to visit her in her Remember New home. And Ellen spent some time praying with her and telling her about her faith in Christ. And to the amazement of the house mom, the mom walked by and she saw Ellen and her biological mom kneeling down in the dust. And with tears coming down their faces, they were praying. And the mom repented of her sin and opened her heart to Jesus. And Ellen has since learned that her mom now has left the life of a prostitute. And now Ellen is praying for her mom's sister, who is also a prostitute. It's generational. That's the kind of background that so many of our kids come from, that we are helping to rescue them and provide a whole different life for. Yes, we've provided shelter. We've provided a safe haven for kids like this here on earth. And that's amazing. That's important. But we've also been a part of, by God's grace, of providing an eternal refuge for them, safe in God's presence forever. The psalmist speaks to this also in the psalm, doesn't he? David wants to take refuge under the shelter of God's wings. The imagery here is of an eagle or of a hen gathering the chicks under her wings, snuggling them tight to her body. And that's kind of the image of our house moms, our house dads, because we have boys' homes and we have girls' homes. About 28% of our homes are boys' homes, because boys are at risk as well. And they care for our kids lovingly. And we're also looking for creative ways to mentor and care for our house moms, our house dads. In fact, we're just launching a Friend from a Distance mentoring program for our house parents. Maybe you're interested in finding out about that. Maybe you'd like to be a friend from a distance, a mentor to one of our English-speaking house parents. I'd be happy to have a conversation with you about that and talk about how we're doing that. We're trying to hook people up through Facebook Messenger video. It's kind of we're trying to figure out the technology of all of that. And But we have a concern to make sure that our house moms and dads are healthy and growing in their walk with God so that they can in turn make sure that our kids are healthy and growing in their walk with God as well. There are many children and teenagers who need the shelter of God's wings. You see, everyone needs shelter. Children need the shelter that God provides from the day-to-day circumstances of life and the storms of life. In 2016 and 2017, we took in a record number of children into our homes, more than any other time period in the history of Remember New. And we thank God for the opportunity of bringing in such a massive number of children to protect them and to provide shelter for them. We took them in trusting God would provide child sponsors for them for relationship and to provide the financial support needed. But in December of 2017, for the first time ever in the 10-year history of our organization, our board of directors said, stop. We are taking in children so fast, we don't have the finances available to support you taking in any more children. We have to get caught up. And that was devastating for those of us seeing more and more children that need to be brought into safe places. So we're in a holding pattern right now. We hope for a very short period of time. But we are calling for God's people to step up and say, we want to make sure that the children that you have currently in your homes are fully supported so that you can open the doors to go and protect additional children. You see, every child that we have needs three child sponsors for relationship as well as for financial support. And some of our existing children are fully supported. Others need additional child sponsors. Some, like the children in Tanzania that we took in all at once, have no child sponsorships yet. We just took a faith-filled risk saying we have to protect them. We have 2 days to make that decision. We have no time to go look for child sponsors. We just believe God's called us to do this. Let's do it. And now let's go look for some sponsors. So we call on you as God's people to join us in protecting the children that are already in shelters, already in children's homes. Let's protect them. Let's care for them. Let's develop relationships with them. Let's make sure that we can care for them so we can open the doors to protect additional children. Children in need of shelter need day-to-day care, and we're providing that. On the back side of one of your handouts or your sermon notes, there's an opportunity for you to say, yes, I want to sponsor a child. I would urge you to respond. Remember New staff member will get back to you with more details to actually help you select a child to respond. There are different levels of sponsorship that are available to you. And I would be glad to answer questions back at the table. My wife Becky is here as well. She can answer questions for you. But we are really praying that God will stir on the hearts of God's people to come alongside us and open the doors so that more children can be cared for and we can continue to protect children around the world. Would you consider helping to provide shelter for a child, expressing the love of Jesus by word and by deed? Thank you for the opportunity to share what God is doing and for joining with us in helping to end child sex slavery through prevention. Thank you.